Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to the latest episode of Behind the Glass. My name is Sam, I'm your presenter, and also the presenter of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass. This week, I'm joined by Shay Kamari, to give you your full social media title.
Oh, hello, and nice to speak to you. Nice to see you again after a couple of years.
Thank you so much for having us back. We are currently located inside the Amari showroom. For those of you watching us on YouTube, you will see we are surrounded by some quite incredible cars. And as you mentioned, 2 years ago, I came here as part of my celebration of 100,000 subscribers on YouTube.
That's right, you did, yes. And it was very nice of you to celebrate that with us.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
It was an amazing time. And I came here and my jaw dropped to the floor because this is Toys R Us of supercars. I mean, it's unbelievable the stuff you have in here right now, but you did as well 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, we try our best and, you know, still, I mean, after all these years, we're still here, still doing a good job and still providing some of the best cars in the world. So yeah, no,
what I can't understand is how you actually maneuver all these cars around, because they're so tightly packed. You must be a master at Tetris.
Well, the thing is that we've got the boys trained, because look, these cars that we've got parts in here are they are difficult to get out, and obviously, as you know, today's day and age, people don't want to test drive. I mean, they're buying the net.
Or
they come in and they see a brand new car, delivery mileage car, and they say, look, you know, I'd just like to buy that. Because, listen, YouTube, all these TV programs about cars, all these reviews, they give you an idea what the car is.
That's exactly it. People have made up their minds before they even turn up.
Exactly, yes. So the thing is, that this is what we try and do here as well, is that we try and feel out the customer, that, you know, have they had a drive before, what have they watched, what have they seen, you know, I mean, what's their expectations of the car they're looking at. You mean, if it's everything that they want, okay, then basically it's either a deposit over the phone.
Sure.
Right, okay, yeah. And it's a delivery to their house without even seeing the car. So a lot of the cars are bought blind, which is fantastic. So hence, this is why we park our cars like this, because it's like a warehouse of supercars.
Amazing.
You know what I mean? 60 supercars all in one place. I mean, it's a sight to see.
I understand, as you say, nowadays the world has changed in terms of buying cars, and not everyone will need to come and test drive, as you mentioned. Now, you probably just heard the phone was ringing there. We are literally sat right in the middle of a live showroom.
Right, so we can't stop our profit lines ringing.
And I was like, you can come and you can record a podcast, but if I need to work, I need to work. So I was like, that is fair enough. He may disappear at some point, at which point we'll just have a lonely chat ourselves. Do you feel, therefore, that your business has changed slightly because of that fact? Was it always the case that somebody coming in to buy, you know, a really high-end car always kind of knew that they wanted it anyway? Or do you think that social media and Top Gear and Grand Tour have changed how people buy cars?
Well, what I will say to you now, in all the years that I've been in business, and if I start from the basic way of selling cars, going back 25 years ago, when there was no internet and there was no TV programs.
Couriers, wasn't it? That was all you
had. That's what it was. Yeah. I mean, Top Gear was just a Monday evening program, which, I mean, you know, probably a million or two would just tune in, and yeah, it's about a few cars, X, Y, Z. It was nothing really, really kind of like to shout about. But I mean, on a Thursday morning, you'd have the Auto Trader, and you'd be out there 6:30 in the morning. And again, don't forget, Auto Trader was regional.
Sure.
So you had Northwest, you had Wales, you
specific
had Midlands.
Specific to your region, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So you would actually see all the cars that are advertised, you know. So you'd only be looking in your own region to see if you can buy cars or sell cars or whatever it was. So we used to have a full page in the in the Auto Trader, and this is down south. This is down in London. Wow. We're based down there.
Okay.
And I'll never forget getting out to the newsagents early morning in Holland Park. You know what I mean? To the newsagents and getting the first, very very first copy of Auto Trader.
Amazing.
Before anybody else.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Yeah. And then you flick through the pages, and by about 7 o'clock, your fingers were black.
Okay.
with the ink was still rubbing off.
I wouldn't know what that's like. Yeah, that was before my time. I don't know what ink is.
Exactly. Yeah. So the ink would be on your hands, and you know, you'd have black fingers, and it would say very simple adverts, one picture. Wow. Ferrari Testarossa, 25,000 miles or whatever it was, 19.
Probably £25,000 at that point,
exactly,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Very good condition. First to see will buy. You know, VGC. That's what it was. And the thing is that you would then ring up the customer. And or the seller, and you'd say, listen, look, can I come now look at the car? And you'd go down to go look at the car in the view to buying the car. There wasn't that many around.
Sure.
Don't forget, at that time as well, Ferrari didn't have that many models like they've got today. The production wasn't as big.
Much smaller numbers.
So to be honest, you really, in them days, there was only a few people doing it that are still around today. Obviously, the old boys, you know what I mean? They're still here today. I'm here. They're here, which is great. You know what I mean? It's a great credit to our industry, and we've all got a lot of respect for one of them. But I mean, they'll know where I'm coming from about this, because those are the golden days where you could buy cars, where you could sell cars. You know what I mean? Now, obviously, we've then moved on to the internet, and between the internet and this, there's one magazine that came out, which you all know, which is Top Marks magazine. And Top Marks came out on a Thursday,
yeah.
So we were all bulleting our adverts into there. You know what I mean? And luckily, obviously, your fingers never got black in that, but it was a glossy magazine.
There again,
so
love
it,
glossy,
was a bit of an uplift. But what we did is what we did back in 1995, 96, is that a very very good friend of mine who bought a few Lamborghinis off me was a techno dude.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Techno dude.
Yeah,
I love
techno
that.
Dude. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was into his technology.
I think they died out as well.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And he was into getting onto the computer scene and what have you. And he said to me, "Look, Amari, why don't you get a website for all your cars and put them on there?"
When did you say this was 95, 96?
I'd say about 93, 94. In fact, yeah, between 1993 and 1995.
Not a lot of people had websites at this stage.
Didn't have websites at that stage, no. So usually, you know, for the first couple of years, I thought, nah, forget it. Yeah. What's the point?
Waste of time.
You know what I mean? Who's going to go on the net? Everything's on the Auto Trader. It's like now, we actually say no to magazines now.
Wow.
We were saying no to the internet then.
How crazy.
And the thing is he said to me, look, let me just do you a mock-up of a page. It took him 2 years to convince me. So by this time, we're either in 1996 or 1997. When he convinced me to do it, and when we got the website up and running live, it was now finding the punters at the other end that actually had a computer.
Yes, we'd actually log on and
we'd
have
log on.
Yeah, for
yeah,
a reason to actually go
you
to
know,
your site.
And you say to him, listen, do you have a computer? What's one of
yeah.
those?
Yeah, why do I need one of them?
Well,
I can just go and buy Auto Trader.
With a keyboard, you know, and you tap away. Oh, right, okay. And the thing is, in them days, also, when if you didn't have a computer, let's say, I mean, I'm not talking about Commodore 64s now, I'm talking about a PC.
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, what you do is that you'd download, you type in the web address, which would be very, very long, okay. Then you'd click on the link, okay, yeah, or the actual web page, and then it would take forever to download.
Amazing.
So by the time you'd downloaded the one picture on that car, okay, yeah, you would have probably got a full car built.
I'm learning so much, and I'm sure some of our younger viewers are as well.
Exactly, yeah.
The wonders of the early days on the internet.
So that's how it was in them days.
Okay.
So everything was very, very slow. But the thing is that people liked that three pictures, four pictures, you know, of a car. They could see it.
Absolutely.
And then what I started doing then, I started doing more text on cars, more information about cars, X, Y, Z. And I mean, I'd like to say, and I'm please excuse me for being big-headed, and I'm going to be, look, I was the first person going back maybe 10, 11 years ago to put 30 pictures per
there
car
you go.
On my website.
If you can't be big-headed, I don't know what we're doing in this world.
Exactly.
That's
yeah,
a British mentality that you have to talk down success.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, if you think that was you, then that was all you.
That was me. I always strongly stand by that. And if my web guys listen to this now, who's been with me for 10, 11 years, Barry, if you're listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Because go on, Barry.
We were in a meeting with him the other day about our new website. But anyway, having said that, the way it's all changed now is massively, because look, we're now on the World Wide Web. You can look at a car in America in a second.
Yeah.
You can look at a car
the
in Japan.
The pace of things is so
just
quick.
So fast.
And the way that we consume information, I think, like our brains are trained
correct.
To be yeah. so quick at just taking yeah, in information, yeah, whilst yeah. before yeah. they would log onto your site, look at every one of the 30 pictures, read,
exactly.
all, the text,
read all the text,
go back,
exactly.
think about it during the week. Now it's an Instagram swipe, isn't it?
It's an Instagram swipe, yeah. And not only that, but the thing is, look, nowadays, who can be bothered reading?
Yeah.
No one wants to read anymore now. So what you do is that you either click onto a review, okay, and listen.
Yeah.
Okay, about it all. Okay, and take it all in and watch the cars moving in and out and all that sort of stuff. You know, back and forth shots and then up in the mountains, down in the mountains, and then obviously in the streets and what have you. So I mean, look, if you look at it now, the way of buying cars has changed. Yes, it's a lot tougher. It's
yep.
a lot harder. I mean, because the World Wide Web has opened the private puncher out there to a world of knowledge of the car trade. And guess what? We've all become budding car dealers.
We've all become... Hello, that's why I'm here today.
Yeah.
But I've just thought of a business idea that I think we should invest in together.
Go on.
What about Tinder for car buying?
Tinder?
You're saying it's the swipe of an Instagram.
Exactly.
We need a very rich clientele
yeah,
who can just
know,
swipe
yeah.
and go,
yes. Exactly. Good idea, that. Actually, yeah.
Well, there we go. We'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's cut it back a bit, because obviously that we're talking a little bit about your business. But,
yeah.
but for you, where did the car passion come from? Because you can't have a business like this and for so long without surely being passionate about cars.
No, well, the thing is that we've now been in the car game for over 35 years, okay, and this is all started from my father.
Okay.
So my father wasn't in the car game, okay, but what it was is that my father's a very big into real estate and property in a massive way, and he always has been for a very long time, for probably over 40 years.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's been a very big car nut as well.
Nice.
And I remember when I was a kid, you know, I mean, I remember at the age of maybe 3 or 4, him driving around in Ferraris and Porsches and Lamborghinis.
And you're screwed at that point, aren't you?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I never forget him turning up one morning in a Lamborghini Espada.
Wow.
You know what I mean? A four-seater Lamborghini.
Wow.
You know
wow.
what I mean?
Those
and
are
I remember
the days,
this
huh?
white Espada pulls outside Holland Park and we think, God, what's this dashboard?
Yeah. You knew you were never going to be into golfs.
Exactly, yeah. You know what I mean? We thought, what? It was the most wackiest car ever. You know what I mean? And my dad said, listen, look, you know, we've already got a couple of Countaches. Okay, well, listen, look, I bought this, then all the family can go out. Mum was whinging about it, you know what I mean? And I remember that afternoon, that Saturday afternoon, it was a lovely Sunday afternoon. All we did was up and down Park Lane, Knightsbridge, like they do now.
Sure,
like
you were doing laps. You were doing the early stage of laps. There
sure
were no spotters out,
well,
but
yeah. So, I mean, the thing is that's where it's all come about. And obviously, you know, we were very, very fortunate enough to have, in the early days, you know, an involvement with the very famous Ran Lamborghini.
Sure.
You know, which we ran for quite a long time.
Okay.
You know, and ever since then, we've just bought and sold supercars. You know, and it's been in our blood, it's been in our passion. You know, I mean, God bless my brother, he's not here anymore now, but I mean, me and him were a real good team.
Yeah, amazing.
You know,
a proper family business,
yeah,
you know,
business,
a
yeah.
family passion.
Yeah, exactly. Family passion. Yeah, I mean, it's like now, I mean, me and Saba, my wife, you probably know us on the Channel 4 Million Pound Motor TV program.
Yeah,
I mean, we both together run the business, you know. And we also tell our staff as well, listen, look, you're coming into a family business. And look, you know, you're going to be treated like family. This is why our staff are never changing. They've been here for a long, long time.
It's a very nice feel. And for those of you who might be international viewers or may have just missed it, Amari did mention there was an amazing Channel 4 show, actually,
yeah.
which was about, it was at 3 or 4 different sort of prestige dealerships in the UK.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they did a
yeah.
whole segment on you and your wife, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. I don't know if it's still on. Is it still online?
It's still on, yeah. It's still
okay.
on. If you go to Channel 4 OD, I think it's called.
Okay, 4OD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah,
and it's Million.
And then it's the Million Pound Motors.
Million Pound Motors,
yeah,
there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
You can go back and watch it. It's a really fascinating insight because I have to say, you're so right about a sort of family feeling or at least a really friendly opening environment, because it
yeah.
is amazing when you step in here. You're blown away. These are cars that you do not see really anywhere in the world.
You
and
don't know.
They're all in one room. And a lot of places you travel and you go into supercar dealerships, they're a little bit snooty. You know, I find
yeah.
this really big in America, actually.
Mm.
They really sort of look down on you and they're not very welcoming and it's just not that friendly. But the first time I came here, I was a relative nobody and I dropped you a message, I think, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Turned up like a little geek with my camera. I was like, oh, can I film your cars? But you were all so welcoming, you know, the whole team here, and it's great to see, and I think everyone's passionate about the cars, and that does come through, which is great. But I want to go back to you specifically. And so growing up with your dad turning up in Countaches and Espadas and things, what was your first car?
Right, my first car that I bought was a Ferrari Mondeo. Yeah, I had a Ferrari Mondeo.
You know, that's one of my dream cars, because often called the worst Ferrari.
The worst Ferrari ever, yeah.
And that was your first car.
Yeah, that's what my dad said to me. He said, look, you know, I'm going to get you some training, and if you're going to learn how to drive a Ferrari, I'm going to buy you the worst, best Ferrari ever. So I thought, okay, what's this going to be then? Yeah, so I actually ended up buying a Ferrari Mondeo.
Wow.
And because I passed my test in 1988, okay. So I was very lucky to have a Ferrari Mondeo 3.2.
Okay,
which is a quattro valve.
Yes.
Not the old 3 litre.
Not the really dodgy one.
SHIT. You know what I mean? Beep, beep. You know what I mean? So I ended up getting a brand new Mondeo. I remember it was a black Mondeo.
Okay.
And I drove it everywhere.
That's amazing.
And it was fantastic. And I just got my friends in the back.
At the time, did people appreciate them?
Of course it did.
Okay. So at that time,
it was a big thing to have a Mondeo. Okay. I mean, listen, in them days, back in 1988, what did Ferrari have? They had the 328.
Yeah.
Oh, let's start from the Mondeo. They had the 328. They had the 400.
Yeah.
I thought the 412.
Which was cool.
I mean, the city gent, the lawyer, the businessman.
Yeah,
the businessman had that, you know what I mean? And then you had the Testarossa.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Our Testarossa,
the big boy. Yeah.
Right, okay. Then they brought out the F40, the 288 GTO later on. But obviously those were in them days at around about 150,000 quid. I mean, those were the
equivalent of the P1s or you've got a few crazy things.
I mean, just
in
to give you an
now.
Idea, we bought that Mondial in 1988 for 28 grand.
You know which is probably what they're still worth today.
It's still worth today, but 28 grand net in them days was equivalent
a huge
to
amount
about
of money.
100 grand today.
Yeah, it's like going out and buying a fully spec California. I owe it all now, Portofino. And fun enough, actually, you had a Mondeo that came in the other day, a white one with a red interior.
That's right, yeah.
Fell in love with, because I just thought it'd be amazing to have, now thought of as one of the worst Ferraris, which I think is such a shame, because I'm a Ferrari fanboy, as I think I've mentioned to you before. And so for me, none of them are awful, but I like the fact people look down on it. Yeah. But you're a Lamborghini big fan, right? I mean, not just through business, but personally.
I've always been Lamborghini, and I'm a great believer in the actual brand itself. I think the brand's gone from nothing, you know, to a fantastic brand with that already taking over. You know, and we've obviously, you know, we do very well with those cars. We do very well with the Huracans, the Aventadors. I mean, we've obviously, as you probably know, I've got a big collection of Countaches.
Well, I wanted to ask about that actually, because aside from the things that you have coming and leaving the showroom every day, it seems you've got some pretty nice cars in your personal collection as well.
That's right. We have. Yeah.
Can you just wow me and bamboozle me with a few?
I'm not going to mention the number.
You don't have to go all of them.
But what I will say to you is that I've got a lot of Countaches.
Okay.
This is me and my father. We've got this together, which we've collected up over the years.
Wow.
So we've got quite a few Countaches.
And different variants, or have you?
We've got different variants. Okay. I've got a Periscope. I've got a 5000S.
Wow.
I've got a 5.2 litre QV quattro valve.
Okay.
I've got an 88.5 QV. I've got a few anniversaries as well.
Do you seek them out? Do you?
Yeah. Well, a couple of cars that I've bought some cars that are not normal Countaches.
Okay.
I don't know whether you remember back in the 80s. I mean, these cars were being kitted up as well. You know, with Koenigsegg. No, not Koenigsegg.
Koenig. Customizing, like customizing, it was early days of the Manseries and the DMCs.
Correct,
and all this
exactly,
like that.
Yeah. So I've got a Countach with it's got a.
You're laughing because it's obviously awful.
Yeah, so instead of having a rear wing on it, it's got a flying saucer on the back.
Oh my god!
which is supposed to be a big TV aerial. You know what I mean?
Amazing.
So it's got a TV in it. It's got a reversing camera in
Very
it.
Very 80s.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's very 80s. You know, I mean, it's an American spec left-hand drive car. It's a quattro valve, and we've had that car now for probably the best part of, I'd say, 22 years.
Wow.
22 years.
Do you know any other sort of big Countach specific collectors? Do you think you guys might be one of the?
I do know quite a few.
Okay.
I think in England, here in Ireland, I think Countach wise. I'd like to say that I've got most of them.
Wow,
you know, the biggest collection, I
suppose. Sure.
I mean? But
it definitely sounds like it.
Yeah, as it goes for the others, I mean, like, for example, now we've got an LM002 okay. as well. We've got a Jalper in there.
Okay.
We've got a Uraco as well.
Wow. Big Lambo stuff. Anything non-Lambo? Was the collection mainly?
The thing is, after that, then we've got a black Ferrari Enzo. Yeah, we've got an F40.
Oh, I hate you so much.
We've got an F50
as
well.
Oh, I hate you even more.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a 288 GTO.
Wow.
We've got as well. We've got...
You don't see many of the 288 GTOs, do you?
No, we don't. Our car is a very, very special car.
Okay.
We've had our car since 1986.
God, incredible.
Okay. And in 1986, we bought that car for something around about, I think, 75,000-80,000.
Okay, you're paying for lunch, yeah?
Yeah, I'm paying for lunch, yeah. 75,000-80,000 quid we bought that car for.
But there was a period of time, and you must see this, that's something actually to move on to, is that the way that the car market is going, these insane values for sort of modern classics or limited run stuff, you've got a Huracan Performante back there, we've got a P1 sitting right next to us, has gone wild. And so a 288 GTO at £75,000, a lot of money back then,
of course, yeah.
But now you're talking about a million plus.
No,
surely,
you're talking more than that. I think
more than
for a good 288 GTO. Put this way, our GTO. If we sold that car today in auction at RM or one of the big auction houses, I think it would fetch no less than 2 million.
Wow,
that car would. I mean, it's still under 3,000 kilometres.
But does that make sense to you as a guy who's been so involved with this scene for so long? Mm. Are you looking at that going, yeah, look, these are valuable, like art. That it makes sense why they have these crazy values, or do you look at it slightly as a bubble or a sort of slightly mad, you know, reflection of the way the world's going?
You know, something is that. This is the way the world's going. As you know, the money is, for the rich, it's everywhere. You know, I mean, it's the people are making serious money. You know, whether it's bitcoins or whether it's, you know, an internet business, property business, what have you. Look, the population is getting bigger. Okay, yeah. We're living in a society now where, you know, people want to treat themselves.
Of course.
They want to, let's say, for example, it's like you just said there, that, you know, when you were a kid, the Mondial was the car for you. And when you were a child, you thought, God, will I ever afford one of them?
Yeah.
But now you're at the stage now where, you know, if you wanted to, you could go out and buy yourself a Mondial and park it away in the garage and look at it and say, "Oh, that's my childhood car that I wanted." It's like we all had Countaches and 911 Turbos and Testrosses as posters.
Yeah.
You mean?
And now you can go out because of, as you say, the way the world's going, people are making big money.
Of course, exactly.
And so they can go and buy the things that they dreamed about having as a kid.
Yeah,
And I do see it. I think some of the values do seem a little crazy to me for certain things. And I'm sure you see it, because I see a lot that you post 458s that come and go. And I think you had a Spider maybe that you'd sold and resold this week.
Yeah, exactly.
And cars like that, which I'm sure, you know, you must get at the peak of their value. They drop, they go back up, you know, and it's a mad world.
It's a mad world. And the other thing is that in this game, there's no right or wrong. I've got to say that to you.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, look, is that we've had this whirlwind, this hype of the classic car market, which we're all involved in somehow, somewhere. We all know about it. Over the past 3-4 years, and I'm going before the actual price correction, and people call it a down in the market, people call it the price are crashed, it's not a price crash at all. All it is, it's a very, very big market correction on these cars. That's what it is. And I'll talk about it in a bit more, but what I'm going to say to you is that, you know, anything in that sort of mark, as in the classic cars, is always going to be a desirable car. People always want it. It's like now, for example, now, I mean, I'm just trying to buy, another Testarossa, you know, a 512TR. You know, someone out there will want a 512TR with low mileage, a nice right-hand drive, UK-supplied 512TR, full Ferrari service history, you know, that will want to park in the garage, that couldn't afford it 20 years ago, that can afford it now.
And we'll look at the way that the current car world is going with things like the McLaren Senna, and go, I don't want that. I want, you know, something with a huge V12 and beautifully designed. And
well, this is what I always say, is four key ingredients. Now, maybe giving a secret away.
Okay, go on.
Pop-up lights.
Manual gearbox.
Flat 12. Or even V8.
Okay.
Or even V12. Okay. And made in the era of the owner. So, for example, with Enzo Ferrari, that Testarossa was made when he was alive.
There you go.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, if you think about
it... You're like the KFC secret ingredients.
That's right, the KFC. Yeah, AFC. Yeah, I'm already fried cars.
Sorry
about
that. You've either said that before or thought that way too quickly. That's very worrying.
Sorry about that, but what I'm trying to say to you is that this is the way the market's gone. Because, look, when you put them four ingredients together, I mean, it's not for every car, but, I mean, you can't put it on a Pagoda, but Pagoda's got its own attributes. It's got its own key ingredients of what they want and what have you.
Okay.
We all know the 80s cars as pop-up lights, manual gearbox, V8, V12, and that's what we want, made in the era of the owners.
Do you think that the cars, so my generation, maybe it's the 458, or, well, take me for example, 360. My poster car was the Ferrari 360, so I went out and bought a manual 360 Modena at the end of last year.
Yeah, sure.
So that's my one. So as time moves on, these cars at the moment, Huracan Performantes, the 8-year-olds of today, do you think in 30 years' time those cars are going to be going for crazy values?
I don't think so.
No, it's a different breed.
I think because the way we're going now at the minute with cars, I mean, you know, cars are produced on a mass basis, aren't they?
Yeah. There's so many of them, and they're also already trading for silly money.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, look, again, if we go back to the 80s, you know, in the mid to late 80s, what did they bring out? They brought out an F40, they brought out a 288 GTO, you know, they brought out, in the Countach, they brought out the Anniversary. Yeah, okay, yeah. Porsche had a 911 SSC or even a 911 LE they had, okay. But they were actually different models.
Sure.
Do you get what I mean? They're different cars. You know what I mean?
Whereas rather than now,
variations of the same car. Yeah. So, I mean, if you look at Huracan, I mean, yes, the Huracan is a fast car, and the Performante is a faster car. I mean, but aesthetically, it all looks the same.
Yeah, it all looks the same. They basically bring out a base car that they know they can extract more performance from and stuff, rather than these really special,
exactly. I mean, it's a cheap thing to say, but I mean, on a 308, you can put a 288 body kit on it.
Yeah,
do you get what I mean?
Let's do it.
But I mean, the thing is, the 288 GTO was a 288 GTO, wasn't it?
Okay.
And it was a car that was made in limited numbers.
Absolutely, and you know, it was a very bespoke, specific project.
Yeah, where the Performante, or let's say, for example, the 458 Speciale, or I mean, the LaFerrari is not a production car, but there is quite a lot of them around.
Absolutely, in the grand scheme of things. People don't think of it, because back in the day they didn't have a number. We're building 499. They actually probably built fewer, but it just wasn't talked about.
And this is where it is, whereas the classic car market will always be there. I'm a big believer in that. And people that talk about the market having a downturn, to be honest with you, I don't believe it. Look at the results this week that we've had from RM Auctions. You know, they've got some great results. Okay, some cars, but very few cars, as expected, wouldn't sell. Okay. Or they didn't sell.
Okay. Sure.
But it's not the end of the world. Listen, the F40 still made its money. Mm. I mean, look at the Lancia in there that made
Big money.
Big money.
Yeah, big money.
You never think an Evo would make that kind of money. But I mean, it did it.
I
mean,
and it's also the buyer. I think that's, exactly. you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said it, you know, it's sort of what works for that particular buyer, because now people are growing up, now people are getting into their money. Yeah. There are going to be certain cars they're going to want to go out and find a specific car.
Exactly.
And they'll pay whatever they feel is the value.
Every classic car that I buy, even today, it's like now, I've just bought a couple of bits, which you'll see on the website in the next probably 3 to 4 weeks. I've bought some left-hand drive Porsches. And I bought a Pagoda as well. So just to give you an idea, is that those cars that I've bought are absolutely mint. You could eat dinner
best of the best. Nice, amazing.
But again, history files, they've got history files with them.
Is what people want when it comes to classics, isn't it?
And if I show you some of the history files that we've got on our cars, you'd be blown away, Sam. But you think, God, that much history, someone kept it. Well, that's the cars we want. We want cars that have been kept, that have been pampered. And those are the cars in the market today that will command a premium and over the odds, because they've got the history with them.
Yes.
Look, let me give you an example now. What happened? The 360. And this is nothing against what you've bought.
You bought Please a manual attack car. It, destroy
okay,
it.
Yeah, okay. A 360 was a mass-produced car.
And you could get them for 30 grand, two years ago.
Now, the thing is that what happened then is that in the hype, they all got hyped up. Manual 360. Even the F1s started to have a bit more of a flavour behind the manual gearbox, because in them days, you might remember, back in 1999, Ferrari winning all the Formula Ones,
absolutely.
XYZ.
That's why it's called the F1 gearbox.
And Schumacher was, the number one racing driver. What did everybody want to be? They wanted to be Michael Schumacher.
There you go.
And the flappy paddle box was the old.
No one wanted manual. You're like, come on, get a flappy paddle.
And the other thing is that manual was a standard option. This is a funny thing. Manual was a standard option, and the F1 was a cost option.
Yeah.
So everybody ticked the manual, the F1 box. Now, the thing is, here we are, near enough 16 years on, and guess what? Everybody wants freaking manual. Do you know what I mean?
And it's crazy. It's crazy. Are there a few cars, in your personal opinion, professional or personal, that you think are overhyped?
I think a lot of cars are overhyped. I think to start off with, I'd definitely say a lot of the Ferraris are overhyped.
Okay. You cut me to the core.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Although I am
you've got enough Ferraris in here.
Listen, I've got more Ferraris than I've got 24 Ferraris in total here. Okay. And the thing is that the brand is fantastic. I love it. Okay. But when I go back to the old stuff, it's like, for example, now, Mondials.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're hyped up. Okay. Yeah. 308s. Okay. Hyped up.
Yeah.
328s. Hyped up.
And you're saying this because whilst we might all sit around and go, yeah, Mondials the worst Ferrari, they are now going for 80 grand some cases.
Correct, exactly.
Which is crazy when you look at what you could buy as a new car for 80 grand.
Correct.
Why on earth are people paying 80 grand for a Mondial?
Exactly, yeah. And the thing is that this is where we're going, then we're moving to, the 355. Now, listen, if you're going to buy a 355, again, look, it depends on the beast. Because, look, you'll have one 355, which is an import from Hong Kong or from Japan, or from the States, which is coming to the UK because some poor bugger thought that, I want to make money out of this, and they aren't going to because the Europeans won't like it, definitely not. And that 355 there is sitting there with service history from another country, which you can't understand.
Can't check. Okay,
and you can't check, blah, blah, blah. And guess what they want for that 355? They want 85, 90 grand for it. Well, hang on a minute. Am I wrong saying that 4 or 5 years ago that car was around about 25 to 35,000 quid?
How does that make sense that it's gone so far?
But the thing is again, and then if you look at a proper UK supplied right hand drive 355 manual gearbox Berlinetta, or even a GTS, even a Spider
with fantastic history,
you know what I mean? And it might have, let's say, six owners on it, but the service history is all pucker, it's all up to date, You know what I mean? It's done nice mileage, the car's tight. Well, you will command the money for that car, but you won't command what people are asking nowadays. I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of people out there, they are
going a bit crazy.
They're going crazy with prices.
I'm totally with you there, where I think people are getting ahead of themselves almost, where they're going, oh, I've got this great car, I'm going to sit on it, it's a collector's car and it's going up, and it does affect the way people. I know somebody who bought a 599 GTO, delivery mileage.
Yeah.
He said, the worst thing about that car is I can't go near it.
Yeah.
He said, the minute I put any miles on it, it devalues it because people, you know, it's got this sort of whole. I said, well, that's kind of a mad point that the market is such a place that there's such a sort of, you know, a huge premium for a delivery mileage car, which I know there is, but it all just seems a bit too much. It seems a bit too crazy at that point.
I've got delivery mileage countashes.
Okay, wow.
Anniversaries. It's the same thing with them. I've got one here with 35,000 kilometres on it, okay, and I've got one with 35 kilometres on it. But you know, something is this, is again, it's one of them things. Look, as my recommendation to any of you guys out there looking at a classic car for an investment, look, buy it for the enjoyment. Buy it for what you want, as in, like, you know, your passion.
Don't buy what the market wants. Yeah,
don't buy what the market wants, but buy it. And look, if you make money out of it, it's a bonus.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Free mileage.
Yeah, free mileage. And this is exactly what happened 4 years ago. Because people bought these cars not as investments, they bought them to drive around in, and hey-ho, the market's gone up, I can make some money out of this, flip it, sell it for 20, 30 grand. But don't be greedy, though. And the attraction needs to be on these is the price. Because, look, the next person that's going to come and walk through my door is going to buy a 355 or a Diablo or a Countach or whatever it is. Just thing is, he's going to look at the price and say, look, okay, well, if I buy that for this much, what is the attraction? It's the price. If it's sensibly priced, and this is why we sell so many cars, there's so many cars that come through our workshop for that we buy that, and in our showroom, that we sell off market.
Okay.
Because we've got people already lined up for me. Look at this customer that just walked in while we were having our interview.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, he just said to me, look, Amari, you know, I'm looking for a really nice 456, low mileage, blah, 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 blah. Okay, yeah. Now, although he's a regular customer, now, I know where there's a car.
Yeah.
I know where I can buy it.
You haven't got one in the showroom right now.
Yeah, I've got
one
right now. But you know what he says? I will go and buy that car, okay, and I will sell it to this customer of mine who's bought 4 or 5 cars off me in the past. But this is, again, it's a sale which is off the radar.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And this is what we do, what we're trying to specialize in now, is off the radar sales.
Okay, you interesting.
I've bought some big bits. I mean, as you can see, we've got an F40 there.
Yeah, you've got silly stuff hanging around.
We've got an F40 which came in a couple of days ago. Okay. Again, we're not going to put it on the market. Okay, we're going to sell it off market
because, you know, people have come to you and said, I'm looking for F40s, and
exactly. Okay. Yeah, we're just on with an F50.
Nice.
Trying to buy that car in a minute. We're on with a couple of Bugatti Veyrons as well. So I mean, look, these are the type of things that we want to get involved in. And listen, at the end of the day, a showroom is a showroom. People can walk in and they can pick and choose what they like, and these are cars that are advertised on the website.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think at the end of the day, if you're looking to buy a Bugatti Veyron, you're probably not an auto trader, scrolling through. You're probably doing conversations with people that you have relationships with, and tracking down specific cars.
Yeah.
Amazingly, we've run out of time.
Sorry.
That's how quickly we power through these. I think you were a little bit nervous that I was going to take up too much of your day.
It's been so
interesting for me, really fascinating. Obviously, for those of you that weren't aware of Amari before today, one of the most iconic UK, if not European, if not worldwide, supercar prestige dealership. So it's great to speak to you and understand a little bit more about the background and the history and your thoughts on the market. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. If you want to follow Amari, then you can do it. I'll put all the links for you watching on YouTube below. If you're listening to us, you can just search Amari on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter,
they're
everywhere. So it's Amari. I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you so much for joining
me.
I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate it. And listen, I look forward to the next interview.
Exactly. We're gonna have to do these monthly updates.
Guys,
give the video a thumbs up. Make sure you're subscribing if you're on YouTube, and if you're listening to us, make sure you are subscribing on SoundCloud and on iTunes podcast. I will catch up with you very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.